Welcome to the Store Builders Podcast, the place where we talk to industry experts and successful store owners about what it takes to build a thriving e-commerce business. Every episode, we deliver the raw, unfiltered recommendations that will catapult your store to new heights. Ready to get serious about expanding your e-commerce empire? Well, then let's get to work.
I'm your host, Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined once again by Chris Lemma. In this episode of the Store Builders Podcast, Chris and I discuss the complicated factors surrounding the idea of doing business or not doing business through Amazon. If it hasn't happened already, the Amazon question will come up at some point in your time as an online store builder. Should you consider putting your store or part of your store on Amazon? What are you missing out on if you don't? What will it cost you if you do? As with every business decision, the answer is complicated. There is no one-size-fits-all answer. However, there are helpful questions to ask and factors to consider with your clients before committing to a course of action. There are also different approaches to doing business with Amazon that you should thoughtfully consider. On today's episode, you'll hear where you should start in your thinking about the Amazon question. Many business owners are afraid of missing out on the customers who shop on Amazon, but are concerned about the costs involved. Next, we'll cover the reasons to be cautious about doing business through Amazon. There are a lot of costs to doing business on Amazon, including the fact that Amazon itself may become your biggest competitor. Then we'll go over some reasons to consider doing business on Amazon. If you have the right kinds of products or a specific niche that Amazon wouldn't be able to undercut, you might do well to open an Amazon store. After that, we will examine which industries might be a better fit on Amazon than others. Trafficking in commodities where there is more loyalty to cost than brand, and you have secure profit margins, would be some examples of products that would translate well to Amazon. In addition to that, we will cover some questions to consider when setting up your Amazon store, such as the cost of storing products with Amazon and understanding the fee structure around doing business there. Finally, we emphasize that this does not have to be an either-or question. You have the option of starting a hybrid model and selling some, but not all, of your products on Amazon. If you're ready to analyze the Amazon question and make the best decision for your clients and your brand, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice on this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's my conversation with Chris Lemma. All right, Chris, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you back.
Hey Ryan, how are you?
I'm excited to be here because we're tackling a big one today. We're tackling the Amazon question. So
yes,
where should we start thinking about Amazon? What's your entry point to talking about Amazon if you're a store builder?
So the answer right to that question is basically the same as the answer to all the questions, which is ooh, it's complicated.
Okay.
When you start thinking about this. More often than not, we're going to hear customers, right? As store builders, you're going to hear customers going, hey, should I put my store on Amazon? Should I have, you know, what we talk about, multi-channel or omni-channel sales? Should I be in more than one place? So should I have a regular store online in my own platform and then also have an Amazon store? And you hear the question a lot come through from store owners who are asking, right? What about all those eyeballs on Amazon? Am I missing something? And then as store builders talking amongst each other, right? Going, hey, when do you say yes? When do you say no? Like, how do you decide? What's the strategy behind choosing Amazon or not? And is Amazon all it's cracked up to be back when it was all that it was cracked up to be, right? Like, I mean, so, you know, unfortunately, as a store builder, you may spend a lot of time learning the ins and outs of building a store and may not have spent all the time tracking what's going on with Amazon.
Right.
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 And the reality is over the years, putting a store on Amazon has changed, right? In terms of feeds, in terms of competition, right? Mm-hmm. So you start thinking through all that. So all in all, so if I say that the question is complex.
Sure. Right?
And there's a lot that goes into it. I think maybe the easiest place to start is why would anyone not choose Amazon, right? So what's the case for saying no? When you have all those eyeballs, all those people doing a search and they could find your product, why wouldn't you want to be there?
Okay. Yeah.
And I'll tackle this with three answers. The first is the fees, right?
Okay.
Everything has a price. So your margins are going to be disrupted if you're used to selling on your own store. When you go to put a product on Amazon, when you spin up a store on Amazon, you have the fees for the store. You may have, depending on what category the product's in, right? And depending on what space you're in, you may be giving up, you will be giving up different parts of your margin, right? Mm-hmm. Then you have fees for fulfillment, right? If you're doing fulfillment by Amazon, there are more fees. And you have to start figuring out, okay, how much of my margin am I giving away for those eyeballs? Mm-hmm. So number one is just, what's this going to really cost?
Right.
It used to be a lot less. It continues to increase. So as Amazon costs go up, your own calculus of whether or not it makes sense may change.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So the first issue is fees.
Okay.
Now, the second issue is, right, Amazon's collecting this data. You're giving Amazon, right, all of the data it needs to determine, is this an interesting product?
Yeah.
Are you getting good traction?
Mm-hmm.
How many people are buying? Like you would never, if your competitor walked up to you when you were running your own store,
yeah,
right? If you're a store builder and you're standing next to the store owner and the two of you are hanging out and the competitor comes up and the competitor says, hey, how much traffic are you getting at your site? And what's your conversion like? And what's your margin like? Neither store owner nor store builder would ever give your competitor that data.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what you're doing when you put your store on Amazon.
Okay.
You're basically telling Amazon, here's all my data,
mm-hmm,
right? Here, you know how many page views, you know how many search, you know all the search totals, you know how many went from the search totals into my product, mm-hmm, you know how many of those people converted, you know everything about my product.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do I want to do that or not? Right. That's an interesting question, an interesting challenge, right? Now, the third reason why you might consider the answer to be no is private labels. All of us have likely seen Amazon have the product line called Amazon Basics, the brand Amazon Basics.
Yeah.
It's easy to know that's a private label because Amazon put their name in it. Not in the last 3 years, but the 3 years before that, Amazon had like 6 private label experiments, right? They weren't named Amazon. They were named many other things.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying it, right? Like, hey, how about we build our own brand and build our own whatever and sell it? In the last 3 years, they've spun up 66. That's 10 times more in the last 3 years than 3 years before that. That's a big deal, right? Because Amazon is saying, hey, with all the data I have, with everything I know, I'm starting to get into the direct-to-consumer business with my own brand, and I have the place to know where to get into things and where not to. So they launched Wag because they wanted to get into dog food. Because they knew that dog food, they knew exactly. It's not just, I have an idea, I should get into dog food. If you're Amazon, you know what kind of dog food, what flavors of dog food, what sizes of packages have all been sold more than anything else.
Hmm.
You're a shoo-in, and they don't even have to be the low price leader, right? Imagine, or they don't have to be the number one search result, right? Imagine you go in and you see, right, whatever, canine food, right? And it's $17.99 for a bag, and then Wag underneath, and it's $12. And you go, well, but that's, Wag's not even first. And you're like, they don't have to be first.
Yeah.
If their price better, right? Or on the flip side, you don't have to be the number one price if you flip the search and you're first in the search results, right? So either way, Amazon controls every bit of that. I'm not trying to paint Amazon in the bad faith, sure, bad character role here. I'm simply saying we wouldn't normally do this.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't normally compete with a competitor by also giving them all of our data, right?
Right.
So you might discover, okay, I'm going to say no. So if you're a store builder and a customer comes up to you and says, hey, I'm thinking I should get on Amazon. There's so many millions of people on there looking every day. I want to get eyes on my product. And if they buy one from me, maybe I can build a relationship with them and then I can go to, and you go, well, you got to look at the fees, right? You got to understand, you know, the brand and the competition. You got to understand private labeling. There's all these things you got to pay attention to. Those would be the reasons why you might say, turns out it's not that great of an idea.
Okay.
On top of which, every time someone looks at your product, there's all sorts of other space on Amazon's page to look at your competitors. People also bought this. People who looked at this also went to look at this. Mm-hmm. Hey, here's some other things you might want to look at. And that's what people hate about Etsy, right? When you first start selling your leather backpack on Etsy, Etsy doesn't care about you. Etsy cares about itself. Mm-hmm. So the customer experience is all about Etsy making sure that the customer was happy. So they show your backpack, but then they show, here are all these other backpacks you might like more. And you lose your customer because they go to someone else's product. Similar thing can happen on Amazon. Okay. So that's all the negative, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't all have to be negative. There have been some people who've done really great stuff positively, right? So when we get into, if I'm a store builder and a customer comes to me and says, should I be on Amazon? One of the first questions I'm going to ask is, how many product SKUs do you have? Right?
Yeah.
If they have only one SKU, I may not want to take all of your shopping experience, all the data, all your competitive dynamics and stick it on Amazon. But if you have 50 SKUs, I might take one of them and put them on Amazon and then say, you know, hey, if you can grab a portion of these customers to look at your one product and then go, I wish I had, you know, more colors. I wish I had more options and more sizes, more whatever. And you go, oh, we have more stuff here, and then they click to go look at your website and they see more there and they buy it there. Now you're using that listing as lead gen back to your site, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have a lot of SKUs, that could be interesting.
Okay.
If you have a lock on your costs, right? Like you have a particular partnership in a country where they fabricate your product. You have the lowest price that anyone could ever get, even with massive volume sales, because you have an in. It's your cousin who runs the fab unit out in China or whatever. And you're like, I have the lowest price here. I have this, that. So that your product is already at a place where Amazon can't recreate it with their own manufacturing at half the price of yours. Like if you've already killed off all the opportunity to bring it lower and now you're pitching a low price product. Amazon may be fine there because it's not like Amazon's going to be able to create a competitor for you, right? So if you have a handle on your costs and you have a unique situation in that nobody can undercut you, no one can come in under you and change it, and you're choosing to go after that low price, you're playing a volume game. Amazon is a volume platform. So that could be very interesting. And I think the third one is, are you creating something that is so unique, so dramatically crazy, right? That it will take Amazon a while to figure out what you're doing and compete with you. And so in that scenario, you've just given yourself a couple years of generating profit before you've made a name for yourself and people want you instead of the Amazon Basics brand, right? So if you're the first people to ever do, I don't know. I saw a picture this last weekend of a guy wearing his AirPods upside down, right? And the whole world started falling over. And you go, yeah, but if I figured out something about sunglasses or headphones, about how they stay permanent while running, athletic, whatever, and I've created a certain style and size and shape, and I have a certain mold, and I have a patent on that mold and whatever else, right? Mm-hmm. You go, go ahead, sell it on Amazon, right? It's going to be a lot of work for someone else to get into that space. And if you feel like you have enough barriers to entry, right? That's the technical phrase for it. If you have enough barriers to entry that someone else can't step in, then, or at least they can't step in the short term, right?
Yeah.
Then ride the wave as long as you can, make a brand out of it so that people start going to your branded website and then go from there, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not a yes or no. It's a when and if, and it's, you know, when does it make sense? And is this something that I think I could, you know, if I go after it, I can successfully parlay this into the traffic and the volume and the revenue that I want.
Right.
But it is work. And it's not just a, let's just hook my feet up to, a lot of times what you hear is store builders get the request from a customer saying, hey, just take all my products, use the RSS that comes out of something like WooCommerce and just push it straight to Amazon and just spin it up so that I have it everywhere, right? And you go, hey, before we jump into this, let's just publish my stuff everywhere. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should talk about whether or not this is a good thing or not.
Okay, right. So you were kind of mentioning this, that it would be a good fit if you're in a volume game and if you've kind of got a lock on your prices. But even in addition to that, are there some industries that are just a better fit for Amazon than others? Is that part of the equation at all?
Yeah, I think you could say there's there are, when you're talking about commodities, right? People across a lot of industries, when you're talking about commodities, people have already gotten to the point where they've said the only thing that matters is price because everything else is basically the same. So it's the way you and I think about buying batteries, right? Like, I don't know if you have a particular feeling about triple A's or double A's, but fundamentally, I don't care. I don't care which brand it is, as long as it's a reputable brand, as long as it's a brand I've heard of, right?
Right.
But I'm not going to get into a debate over whether the, you know, Energizer is better than something else. But it's a commodity. So what do? I just go on Amazon and buy it.
Okay.
A cable, I go on Amazon and buy it. So commodities play out well in Amazon because people are just very comfortable buying these things, right? Buying a car on Amazon is a lot harder, right? You're not thinking, I would like to buy my vehicle on Amazon.
Yeah.
So recently we've seen people starting to buy pantry items and food items, which didn't used to be the case, right?
Yeah.
But those are all, what they all have in common, right, is that people are not differentiating very much on the product. And so if you're already playing in a commodity-based game, but you have a lock on your margin, that may be more interesting.
Okay.
If it's not commoditized, it's very unique, you may have a harder time. First of all, you're giving up margin to be on Amazon, and you may have a harder time collecting the audience that you want there.
Right.
And so that's where I would probably do that off,
okay.
off of it.
Great. So let's assume our client, you know, we have the whole conversation and they're in. They want to go to Amazon and set up the Amazon store. As a store builder, what do you recommend? What's kind of the best way to get started with that?
So if you've done enough work on Amazon before and you know what you're doing, by all means, you can do that. If you haven't, you may want to get a partner to come in and help, because the most important thing to understand is the fee structure, right? You can't get around the fact that it's not that Amazon is nickel and diming you, but Amazon has a lot of different fees. And you're going to want to understand those fees. You're going to want that customer of yours to understand those fees and be very clear. Because the worst thing you want is that customer realizes, wait a minute, I thought I was going to give up 10% of my margin. But by the time we add these fees and fulfillment this way and these other costs, right? I gave up 25%. It's now stupid. Like, I'm burning money. Like, I don't make money on this. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be part of that equation as a store builder. You don't want to be responsible later to have to explain to the store owner, well, yeah, but this is what it means to sell on Amazon. Like, you don't want to have that conversation after the fact.
Right.
So make sure that you're going through every bit of the fee structure and every possible fee up front so that they know, right? Okay. Yeah, this is what I'm signing up for.
Okay. In terms of really kind of that fulfilled by Amazon model, where they're storing your stuff and that kind of things, what should we keep in mind about really diving into that?
Well, I might sound like a broken record, but fees, right? Like, you're paying for all this, right? You're paying for them to store products. You're paying for them to ship products, right? And so you just, the last thing you want is for people to just not realize how much they were spending on all this,
right?
Again, it's not bad if you go in with your eyes open and you're in a position where you're not creating the next Amazon private label. You know, you're basically going, okay, yeah, you know, this is good stuff. I like this. Mm-hmm. You have to go in with your eyes open and know what you're paying and know that it makes sense, right?
Right.
So in that realm, fulfillment by Amazon is awesome. If you have a product that is going to, you know, leave the shelves quickly and you're going to make enough margin that's going to make sense,
yeah,
that's great.
Right.
If your fulfillment by Amazon costs take you into negative margin and now you're running at a loss, you're going to have a problem, right? You might say, let me go look at someone else that does fulfillment that isn't Amazon, right? I think ShipBob ShipBob is a player that it does similar fulfillment without being Amazon at a different price point. So you may still want to outsource fulfillment, but you don't necessarily have to use Amazon to do it.
Okay, right. So if you set up this Amazon store, I'm just wondering from a store builder's perspective what that looks like on your end. So does it feel like you're running two stores, or are they kind of linked? And does it feel like you're kind of running one store with a couple outlets? Like, what does that look like on your end?
So it depends on how you configure it, okay. Right? So let's say that you have a pretty serious operation. You're selling a tennis shoe, right? Or t-shirts, or some physical product, and you're selling a lot of them. Mm-hmm. So you may already have an inventory system. One of the ones that I use and recommend is a company called TradeGecko, right? When you're using TradeGecko, which is a SaaS, and it's worried about that piece, you can use TradeGecko and have it kind of connect to your, say, WooCommerce or Shopify store and connect to your Amazon store. Then you have one inventory manager, right? You can't sell the same pair of shoes on two outlets at once, right? And what TradeGecko is doing is syncing the data to make sure that there's really only one pair of shoes that's being sold at a time. In that case, if you wanted to edit the product price or edit the details, you might do that in TradeGecko instead of the source WooCommerce, Shopify, or Amazon. You do it in TradeGecko and it pushes it out.
Okay.
On the flip side, if you're not yet at that size, you're not running inventories, you know, separately, if you're doing your own fulfillment, you're a small store, you might spin up a WooCommerce store, for example, and then use a plugin to push your feed over to Amazon, right?
Yeah.
And you might even say, I only want two of my products over there. I don't want my whole catalog over there, right? So you get into that dynamic where you're then, the order comes in, but then you're doing the fulfillment, you're doing the inventory management on your WooCommerce store. So the answer is it depends.
Yeah.
What you really don't want to do is you don't really want to run two separate stores,
gotcha.
Right? You don't want to spin up two stores on their own because your inventory will become a problem pretty quickly, right?
Okay.
Nobody wants to buy a pair of shoes that are already out of stock because they sold on another channel, right? Like that's not cool.
Yeah.
So you need to make sure they're connected so that, you know, if you have 10 sets of shoes, you get to sell all 10, but you don't sell 20.
Right. Okay. Chris, that was great. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up my conversation with Chris Lemma. He shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on how to talk about the Amazon question when it comes to your online store. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do. And we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Store Builders Podcast.